Well, I'm so blessed. I had the honor of this past week twice being part of some community events where I got to give an invocation and share with some people. And each time, there was always a special guest speaker. And that guest speaker always had a speaker come and introduce him before. You know how that goes? And I'd like that to happen this morning. I'd like to introduce to you this morning our guest speaker. I'd like God himself to come and speak to your heart this morning. Because as Travis spoke this morning, and as we've been saying in our services, and as we've really been calling ourselves to grow, we've been talking about the real issue of coming into his presence. And we're going to look at that, and just like the speaker who would introduce the speaker, I'm going to read you his bio this morning. I'm going to tell you a few things about him, and then I'm going to invite us to have a time where we just let him speak. And so if you're up for that, I'm going to ask you to open up your hearts fully to the Word of God this morning, to the possibility of actually hearing from him. I don't know when's the last time you came to church and actually expected to talk to God and literally walk out different than you came in, but I'm asking you to open yourself to that possibility this morning. That I'm only introducing the one who really wants to speak. And we're going to try to organize the service so we have that time this morning. So we're going to look at the passage we looked at last week, and then we're going to extend it a little bit. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33 and going into 34. And I've actually written it out on the screen because I chose the New King James Version. Because one of the things we read last week, we read this word favor last week, and how Moses was saying, if I found favor with you, if I have favor with you, then don't let me go, don't let me live life, don't let me accomplish all the things I could accomplish. What's the point of any of them if I'm not going to have your presence in my life? And last week, we talked about finding a place for his presence in our life. A tent of meeting, and I don't know how your tent went, whether you popped or lit or went up or not, but just taking that time to be with him. We talked about the practice of his presence, how when Moses came to the most tragic moment of his career, when the golden calf happened and everything he worked for was just lost, he had this practice of the presence of God that kept him in the right place, even though everything was crumbling around him. And then we talked about having to have a passion for that presence, meaning we've got to sit and choose and say, you know what, out of everything I want your presence more. And that's a daily activity. And so I'm going to read this passage. You can follow along with me. I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning since it's a long passage, but I ask that you kind of stand up strong in your heart this morning and in your spirit as you recall a man who learns to have a passion for his presence, and that presence turns into a grace and a glory that only God deserves and something that God wants to do in our lives. So just with all your heart, would you hear as I introduce our speaker this morning. Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tent that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tent. And the Lord talked to Moses. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Probably a better translation, that really should be heart to heart, as you'll see as we go on in the passage. As a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to camp, but his servant Joshua, no, he did not depart from the tent. The leader learned, the next generation learned to value his presence. Going to verses 12 and 13. Moses, remember, in the middle of crisis, in the middle of everything going wrong and everything he was trying to do in his life. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. You say to me, do this work to fulfill this purpose in life. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find more grace in your sight. And consider that this nation, the people who just totally rejected you, consider that they are your people. verses 14 and 16. And God said, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. It's possible to have a career that does great things and still have rest because we put God's presence first. Verse 15, then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And then notice this transition from grace to glory. Moses says, please show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I want you to think of the grace we found in Jesus Christ in these next few lines. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face. You cannot see everything, all my glory, for no man can even possibly hold that and live. Verse 21. And the Lord said, I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about him sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Here is a place by me. And you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of that rock. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. You'll just see the very end, the very small finish of what my glory is, but my face, all of who I am, you shall not see. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, because this had already failed, and God is now working redemption. Cut two stones, tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write these tablets, the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Then we talk a little bit about rhythm of his presence. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first one. Then Moses rose early in the morning, and he went up Mount Sinai. And as the Lord had commanded him, and he took his hand, the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. And I think it's appropriate for us to stand in these next verses. Would you do that with me? This next verse is one of the most important in all the Bible. Here's his name that he showed Moses. The Lord God. Would you read it with me? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, that's unrepentant, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Would you sit recognizing that glorious presence this morning? So Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the east and worshiped. That should always be our response to God's presence. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, I want you to notice how he prays this prayer. Let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And God said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have never been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. Now notice this next line. And all the people whom you are among shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Let's pray. Lord, our whole service is in prayer, and your presence is continuing even now to cause our hearts to worship, granting us understanding, helping us not read about something else, helping us read about who you are right now and what you want to say to us. So by your grace, fill each of us with joy in your presence and power for your purpose. In Christ's name I pray, and everyone said, amen. This week we're going to be learning, as we're growing up in grace, how to love better. And I'm not going to touch on the chapter at all, because you can read the chapter to learn to love better. But the truth is, if we don't learn to be in his presence more, we'll never love better. I'm pretty sure all of us in this room have tried by ourselves, right? I'm sure there's some relationships we've really tried to love better in, but we just haven't been able, because the Bible tells us that our own hearts, they're just broken, and we can't teach ourselves to love more. God is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The only way we can love someone else around us more, no matter how rebellious, broken, or betrayed we've been, is by being in God's presence more, by finding that place and learning to be with him. I want to share a secret that I don't want to make a formula, because it's not a formula, but I do want you to see a rhythm and a way of God. When you prayed all this week, God, teach me your ways, I want to encourage you to see that this is the way of God. That it's a way that you can't really tell when it ever begins and how it really finishes in your life. You can tell me maybe your salvation story of when you decided to know Christ, but you probably can't tell me when the grace of God really began. I mean, it's an ongoing work that God's doing, but I want you to see something. Moses' story reflects something. 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 will say the same exact thing as this, that there's something of his grace that leads us to closeness with him, because we don't get into his presence without grace. We did that in communion. But that presence fills us with the grace that isn't for us. Moses has all these private conversations with God, and then the finale, the result of all those conversations, has to do with a lot more people than him. The grace he has is not just for him. The grace that God fills him with is for the glory of God in somebody else. And so when we get into his presence, when we learn to see who he is, we begin to be filled with a grace, and that's where the chapter this week comes in. Something of love begins to work in us, even though, I want you to think about who Moses, at the end of this story, intercedes for. People that he could not be more frustrated with. People he could not be more angry with. People he could not feel more betrayed from. People who have complained to him and complained to him and complained about him. And last I checked, we're thinking of stoning him. And yet, when he gets into the presence of God, the unseen presence, no one else is there. Nobody else is there giving him credit for being there. But he's there, and he begins to understand who this God is, who abounds in love and mercy. There's a love that comes into him, and he begins to reflect that to a group of people that need it. And because that grace is to love what's unlovable and to love what in our own hearts can't love, that grace starts showing up in real-life relationships, and that's what we call the glory of God. The Bible actually has a few terms for glory, but one of them that's really important is this term called Shekinah glory. It's this idea that what is not seen of God can be seen. And when God fills you with grace, and you begin to love someone just a little bit better, when you begin to have forgiveness and patience with someone that everybody else around you knows, why are you having any patience and forgiveness with them? When God begins to cause you to be a servant to someone that everybody else is saying, why are you serving them? Then who God is begins to be seen. Because God ends this, say, you know what I'm going to do with all that grace that's working in you, Moses? I'm going to do something on the people all among you that's never been seen before. And that glory, as that happens, well, that just leads to faith. Faith in the person who served, And it multiplies faith. And people who've never seen him before begin to, don't understand him. Well, they've seen something of his glory through the way we lived out grace. And because of that, some faith begins to rise in them, and it just keeps going. You see, we've been spending a whole year talking about grace, about how important it is, how amazing it is, how God jumps in the pool and rescues us just where we are. He doesn't throw a book at us. He doesn't say, hey, good luck. But he comes, he rescues us. But what we've got to remember is this. His grace is always for his glory. It always ends up for him. It always is some way when it works in us, it begins to be seen in others. I was talking at the invocation for our faith school partners, and I talked to the crowd. I said, you know what? Thank you for taking your success and giving it so some other student could be successful. Thanks for giving to our schools. Thanks for serving someplace. When you go to Shady Hill today, you're going to take the success of your own day and some of the time you have, and you're going to take it and turn it, that grace you've been given, you're going to take it and you're going to give it to somebody else today. If you do a basket and you say, you know what, God's blessed us, we could afford enough to fill one extra basket and be a sign and a witness to a business in our area that God is thinking about him and cares for him. You know, that's a moment to say, God, the grace you've given me, I want that to turn around, because grace always works towards your glory. And so I want you to see in this passage that the grace that God works in you, when it leads you to take more time in his presence, some of us take the grace of God and we make it about ourselves. We take the success God has given us and we make it about us. We'll give God a little credit, like, hey, dude, you know, props to the man upstairs, thanks. But man, we make it about us, and grace is supposed to turn our hearts in faith to the one who cannot be seen, to draw like Moses has, says, look, I've found grace in you, and I want more of it. I've got to know you. I've got to know you so more grace will come through my life. And Lord, in all of it, let somehow who you are really be seen. I was doing Watchdog Dad at Ecoff Elementary School on Wednesday, and if you've ever tried to open 100 milk cartons in the course of 2 hours in school lunches, you know my experience then. That's a lot of pressure, open up those milk cartons. And I'm walking around, and I've been part of that school for probably about 6-7 years, and there's some teachers there who kind of, you know, I mean, they're nice enough, but don't particularly care if I'm there or not. And I'm walking around with Watchdog Dad, and I go to one of those classes, and I just say hi. You know, I just want to say, hey, how are you doing? And this one teacher, I remember the first year she came. And we got to serve in her classroom. We all put our classroom board up and stuff like that. And when she finished the next day, one of the elders and I, we wrote her a note just to bless her. We gave it to her. So I come and say hi to the classroom real quick. I'm not really sure. I mean, I haven't talked to her probably in 6 years. And I say hi. She's like, hi, you know, Pastor Franco, how are you doing? We're all looking like, can you say pastor in church? Is that in the school? Is that allowed? Some of you got that joke. That was great. And she said, hi. And I'm like, I'm really surprised that she's so interested in, like, talking to me, because usually he's kind of, you know, very curt and just, I mean, polite. But she said, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm good. How are you doing? She's like, I'm great. She said, you know what? You see right over there? I said, yeah. She said, that note you wrote me 6 years, you remember that note? She says, I keep that on my desk. I've kept that on my desk for 6 years. And I was just thinking about that note this morning and how blessed I was. I just wanted to say thanks. It's like, okay. And you know what? As I was living out grace, I saw something of who God is, how his patience over years, that I just didn't understand before. It's like, boy, God, you really are. Man, I want everything to wrap up in 2 weeks' time, you know? My witnessing, my problems. Come on, let's tie it up. I got 22 minutes of this sitcom called My Life. Let's bring it to a conclusion. And God said, you know, I just say, you know, God, you really are the God who works through years. You don't forget. Your word doesn't return void. You know, it's not in a rush like I am, but. And Moses, he lives this out, but I just want to take one more minute, and I know I'm really taking a long time introducing the speaker, but I just want you to think about this. I just want you to think about what you see. I'm sorry if that yellow's not working for you. It says, God gives grace for those who have heart faith. Heart faith. You know, Ephesians 2 tells us, for it is by grace that you have been saved. What? Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Romans 10:10 says, for it is with your heart that you believed and are what? Justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And I could read you a lot of other scriptures. I want you to know there can be a lot of things wrong in your life, but you can be right with God still. Because you know, one thing that's got to be right with God, it's not your circumstances. It's not your track record. It's not your language. I mean, it'd be nice if your language was right with him. You know what it is? It's your heart. Your heart's got to be right with him. Your heart is the place that you receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, love the Lord your God, with what? With all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Well, your heart is where the Spirit witnesses to you, where it's welcomed in. Your soul is your will. It's your decision. Your mind are your thoughts. Your strength is just your physical body. It's your heart that has to be right with him. Not your circumstances. Some of your track records, some of the things you got to fix, I mean, God will work that in time, but you know what needs to be right? Your heart. We live in a world that it's all about intellect, it's all about proving this and that. And God says, you know who I'm with? The lowly of heart. I'm with those who are humble. Of what? Heart. That's who God's looking for. That's all you need this morning. That's where grace begins, because God takes heart faith and he lets it qualify as the right response to all the sacrifice of Jesus. And because of just heart faith, not up here, not all this working out, not looking a certain way, just heart faith, he brings us into his presence. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that he does that? What grace has the Father lavished on us that we should be called what? The sons and the daughters of God. Well, wrong way. Sorry again for yelling. His grace leads to his intimacy. I want you to just hear this scripture real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Whenever anyone turns, how? In their heart, to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The separation between us and him. Now the Lord is spirit. Spirit connects with heart. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all want to make that about like how much we dance or how loud we're at church. And there's definitely some application there. Freedom's just, I'm free to come into his presence. That's what that's about. And we who with unveiled faces, this whole passage in 2 Corinthians 3, it's referring to Exodus 32 through 34. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's what? Glory. We are somehow a living example, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. It's all being shown, which comes from the Lord, not from us, who is the Spirit. We were at that. County partner lunch, and the speaker said, "You can only be what you see. If you can't see it, you can't be it." I love that. That was great. And you know, every time we come into the presence of God, and we see him, we can be more like him. You know what? If you need to love someone who's betrayed you, the only way you're ever going to learn to love that is you've got to see a God who loved you when you betrayed him, and because you've seen it, you can start to be it to someone else. Intimacy means we know him more, and I just want you to think about this passage again. God shows and speaks to Moses who he is. God is compassionate and he's gracious. That means to you, he's compassionate and gracious right now. Do you need to say that to yourself? God is compassionate and gracious to me right now. He's slow to anger. Are you slow to anger? Probably not. Is he slow to anger? Absolutely, praise the Lord. He's abounding. abounding, overflowing, can't keep it, can't contain it. The universe is always expanding. Why? Because that's who God is. He never stops. He's always creating more life. Love and faith abound. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. In the other translation, it's iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Wickedness is the sinful nature that we don't understand we have unless God tells us. It's just our nature. Transgressions or rebellion, that's, yeah, I know I'm doing that. Yep, I know I'm doing that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not all happy with it, but I'm pretty sure I need it in my life. You know, I got to have it. I mean, I don't like it, but, you know, it's necessary. That's transgressions. And sin, that's, why did I do that right then? What was that about? Yet he does not leave the guilty, and I, you know, I'm very careful with adding words to Scripture, and I'm not adding, I'm just trying to explain, I'm doing a little amplified version of the Bible right here. It's the unrepentant. You know who guilt remain? People who don't repent. Where? Here. In their heart. He doesn't leave the unrepentant unpunished. Well, that doesn't sound very loving. Well, yeah, if I came to you and kicked you in the shin, and God loves you, then he can't say he's a God of love unless he punishes me because I hurt you. So God demonstrates his love by making sure that when people are unrepentant about the sin, that the proper wrath, the proper punishment is given to that for the sake of all he loves, including that person who needs to turn their way. That is who God is. How do you know him? All you have to do is look at the cross. That's the picture of the cross right there. That's who God is. Intimacy turns into grace through us. So Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord. Now, and just please think about this. He's so frustrated. He's so betrayed. He's so hurt. And yet, because he has found grace, what is his prayer? He doesn't say, God, pardon me. Yeah, God, deal with those stiff-necked people. You know what he says? He says, hey, I'm just one of them. I'm just one of them. God, heal me. Heal us. God, I'm as stiff-necked as all those people who have hurt me. So forgive us. God, pardon our iniquity because I'm just as blind by pride as a lot of other people that I'm frustrated with. Lord, pardon my sin. Lord, they've done things they didn't mean, and I've done things I didn't mean. Take us. Don't just take me. That's when grace really happens. There are some people that you and I struggle praying that prayer for, don't we? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what you should do with them. I got a list. I've written it out. Yeah, them, here's my prayer. Them? No. When grace really works in your heart, you know what you pray? God, forgive us. Forgive us, God. Marriages, families, workplaces. And then that just turns to glory. And I hope you caught it. He says, you know what, Moses? Because you prayed that prayer, because that's in your heart, you know what I'm going to do? Everybody you're among, they're going to see, because of that attitude in you, they're going to see things they've never seen before. I'm going to do some awesome things. And I really believe that is the truth of what God wants to do in us. He wants to take that faith and that grace and allow it to come into his presence. He wants to turn it into a love that people will see. And you ever struggle with reconciling with somebody? Are you right now, are you struggling with bitterness? And, you know, I just can't help but have an attitude towards that person. God, I can't. Are you struggling with self-condemnation, with fear, with even who you are and what you're about? And are you stuck? Are you tired of being a people pleaser? You know all the answers. Are you frustrated with your circumstance? You know what the answer is? Lord, let me remember the grace that you've given me to enter into your presence. And there, if I can learn to be like you, if I can see who you are, then maybe by your grace, I can live that out to somebody else. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and he knows me. That I am the Lord who exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. I'd like us to take a moment to let him speak. The one who is all those things that we have heard. I might go back and find that one if I can. I'm going to take a moment, ask Pastor Brandon maybe to prepare for us for a moment. We got plenty of time this morning. I'm going to ask that you remember the grace that is in your life today. Heart faith. Some of you in this room, man, boy, wasn't it the best thing I said today was that all God wants is heart faith? Like, that's where it all starts. Wasn't that great to hear that? Because some of us just with our, it's like we know all the things that are wrong with us. You know what? You can get what's right. You can do the most, you can get the most important thing right with God this morning. That's the heart. And when that happens, grace starts working out all stuff. Do you want to change the way you talk or the way you act? Are you really tired of being this way? Good. Tell God that. But don't try to fix it on your own. First, let the first part be, God, I just want to get my heart right with you. Because if I just, you know, we you've heard it before. Whatever we worship, we become like, right? You've heard that before. If we begin to behold him, then the God who's abounding in love and forgiveness, the God who's merciful and compassionate, that's who we'll become. And it'll all be by his grace for his glory. So I'm just going to ask Pastor Brandon to lead us in a worship song. And then we're just going to take a few moments to hear from God this morning and let his presence work among us.
Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name, Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name, Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord,
God told Moses to come up to the mountain by himself. Nobody else could be there. What he's saying is each of us can't, It's got to be between us and him. Personally, it can't be. I wonder how everybody else around me is doing. It's got to be me and him. So I'm going to invite you for the next few moments. I'm going to read the declaration of who God is again. And as I do that, whether you want to come up to the altar, whether you want to kneel in your seat, or whether you want to just bow your head where you are, or whether you want to stand, we'll just do it in a gracious way. But I'll invite you this morning to meet with God. I do want to say a special word to those of you who feel like, oh, this is the part where those spiritual people do their thing. I want to encourage you. You're the exact person God wants to talk to today. Don't discount yourself. Let God speak to you this morning. And if you don't know anything to do with your brain while you try to do that, then just hear the description of who he is this morning. And then just say, God, I'd like to know you. I'd like you to show me how you are this in my life. As we hang out in silence for a few moments, there'll be people who are coughing. I'm sure a cell phone will go off at some point during our prayer. Don't worry about it. Just learn to settle in his presence for a few moments. Because in the end, we can talk about his presence, but we really just need to be in it. And I want to give you that moment. So I'm going to invite you now as I read, as the Lord leads you, just to get in that place of presence this morning. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty, the unrepentant, unpunished. He punishes the children and their children's children, the sin of the fathers to the third, the fourth generation. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Would you take the next 3 to 5 minutes and allow the Lord to speak to you and meet with him?